first words out of a believer's mouth, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, you say what? Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for not condemning me, but condemning your Son. When you see the cross, you give thanks. Romans says right in the heart of the gospel, how happy is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose sin the Lord doesn't take into account. The happiest people, Makarios, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus repeated it, I think, 10 or 12 times. We call them the Beatitudes. The word means happy. How blessed, how happy are those who know the Lord.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue in the book of Colossians chapter 2. Pastor Scott brings part 2 of the message titled, Overflowing with Gratitude. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
The same way you received Christ Jesus the Lord, overflowing with gratitude, so walk in Him and grow in Him and worship in Him. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. Aren't you glad He gave us a book of Psalms to just read? No wonder it's the best loved book, I think, in the Bible. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre, who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth. This psalmist was an Oregonian. Who makes the grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens which cry. I started copying out Psalms, you know, portions like that, and I think I could spend all week and not be done. And it wouldn't be a bad idea. Maybe you want to do that. I didn't tell you where those were, just you can go find them. You know, it's good. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. No wonder the Holy Spirit says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. No wonder those controlled by the Holy Spirit, when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And when the Holy Spirit is controlling me, it says, always giving thanks for all things. No, I tell you, gratitude is the bedrock of worship. But secondly, let me add this. Gratitude is the bedrock of happiness. It's the bedrock of worship, thinking vertically and upward. But gratitude is the bedrock of happiness, thinking inwardly. We were created to give thanks. That's why we were created. Toyota created your engine in your car for oil. And you wouldn't try to run it without oil, or you wouldn't do it very long. It grind to a halt. No, we were engineered. We were designed to give thanks, to honor God as God and give praise to His name, to overflow with gratitude. The happiest people that I know are those who practice thanksgiving. And I say practice because by default, you and I, I know when you receive Christ, you're overflowing with gratitude. And He says, so walk in Him. And so there's that newness of life, that joy in Christ. But you and I are still plagued with the old nature, aren't we? And the Bible, you know, tells us that our default, our screensaver, you know, go 15 seconds and it goes back to that again. And you and I what? Complain. Grumble. Murmur. It's amazing. I was teaching John 6 downtown Wednesday at the Art Museum in the ballroom, and our radio producer had dropped by from KBTQ, and you know, but I was teaching John 6, and John 6, Jesus fed the 5,000, and then they came looking for more meals, and he said, "Don't work for the food which perishes, but for that which endures to eternal life. I am the bread of life." And we were in that beautiful section in John 6 where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And the Jews began to murmur and grumble. How can he say, "I'm the bread of life"? We know who his parents are, Joseph and Mary, you know. And so as I'm teaching through it, I just kind of did a sidebar. And I said, "Mark it. In the Bible, all grumbling is against God. All grumbling is against God. You're not really grumbling against your husband or your wife or your boss or the church leaders or the government. All grumbling in the Bible is against God." The Israelites were delivered out of bondage and slavery. God got them across the Red Sea, and they gave praise in Exodus 15. And when I was downtown, I said, "But what's the first thing they did in Exodus 16? They grumbled. What'd you do, bring us out here to starve us, Moses? We had real meat back in slavery. It wasn't all good, but man, those restaurants we had." And they started grumbling. And I made that statement, all grumbling, because God said right away, "Moses, they're not grumbling against you. They're grumbling against me." And so I got home and actually I was interviewed by the producer Friday afternoon, and we had just an hour to just kind of yak on the air. And he said, "I just want listeners to just get to know you." So we were just talking about everything. And he said, "Say, by the way, I heard you say the other day that all grumbling is against God. Did I hear that right?" And I said, "Yeah, it is." And I, you know, restated that. And we had some nice time with it. But then I thought, I wonder, and I looked back, and I was wrong. It wasn't Exodus 16 when they started to grumble. It was Exodus 15. I mean, in the 15th chapter, which I think of as Miriam and the singing and the dancing, "Lord, you delivered us." But they began to grumble and complain and murmur. "What'd you bring us out here to kill us with thirst? We don't have any water." And so I stand by my statement. All grumbling is against the Lord. We grumble by nature. We grumble by culture. What do you mean by that? I mean this. We're taught to grumble. We're told that we're victims. It's not your fault. It's the government's fault. Or you're the man. You know how it is. And so we teach each other to grumble. And by the way, in the most blessed, rich, bountiful land that ever existed, this one, right now, with so much prosperity and blessing. It's amazing, isn't it? When you step back and think how we're cultivating victimology. You're a victim of your circumstance. You're a victim of the system. You're a victim of healthcare. You're a victim of this. You're a victim of that. Stay away from that. Give thanks to the Lord and praise His holy name. That's why wise parents, wise parents teach and train your kids. Because do you want your kids happy? Gratitude is the bedrock of happiness. You teach them to say thank you, don't you? I'll bet 500 times you've said, what do you say, Johnny? Don't you? Johnny, what do you say? Johnny, what do you say? We have to be taught, don't we? And it isn't just manners. It's a heart. You're after their heart. Now you teach your kids to say thank you. One of the first words out of a believer's mouth, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, you say what? Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for not condemning me, but condemning your Son. When you see the cross, you give thanks. You give thanks. The happiest people are overflowing with gratitude. Just like David said, he was trying to hide his sin, and he got darker and deeper, and his soul was drying up like a parched summer afternoon, you know, just dry. And then he confessed his sin to the Lord. And Romans says, right in the heart of the gospel, how happy is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose sin the Lord doesn't take into account. The happiest people, Makarios, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus repeated it, I think, 10 or 12 times. We call them the Beatitudes. The word means happy. How blessed, how happy are those who know the Lord. And by the way, you teach your kids what? To give thanks. What do you say, Johnny? To Mrs. Smith. Don't you? The two is so important. Thanks. What do you say, Johnny? Thanks, Mrs. Smith. That's a lot better. And that's not just manners. We give thanks to the Lord. Friday, it was a beautiful day. When I got back from the prayer meeting, my wife already had two of our grandkids there, and then a third one showed up. And so I had two little two-year-olds, boys, to take out, and we went for a walk, and we walked in the woods in our neighborhood. And man, we had a great time, you know. But I came home and I told Chris, those guys are a study in human nature. She said, yeah, kind of like, I'm the one that takes care of them and raised our kids. You should know that, you know. And I know it was a team effort, but, you know, you gals know this better than I do. I'll tell you that, because you spend time with them. And it's a joy to spend time with them. And we had a great time in the woods. I said, we're going to have a great walk in the woods, aren't we, guys? Yeah, Grandpa, we're going to. And one can talk and one kind of can talk, you know. And they both, it's about the same point, really. But, you know, it was a study in human nature. Man, I found a stick. And I want a stick. Well, what do you say? Please? That's better. Give him a stick. You know? So we've all got sticks. And then somebody grabbed somebody's stick. I just wanted it. It was better than mine, and I just thought I should have. No, it wasn't me. One of the little guys grabbed, anyway, you know how it goes. And I said, let's have a fight, guys. I didn't. I didn't. But I did say at one point, you know, in fact, twice on this walk, we had a great time, too, and it wasn't just all me growling at him. It was a lot of fun. But at one point, you know, I want a stick or whatever it was. And so I, you know, gave them what they needed. I can't even remember now. And I said, what do you say? And he said, thanks. I said, no, what do you say? Thanks, Grandpa. And he said, thanks, Grandpa. And my heart was warmed. Why? Because not only is he learning, you know, gratitude, but he should give thanks to the Lord. And so this isn't just manners. This is getting hold of our hearts. And you see happiness. One of them came up and said, thanks, Grandpa, without me telling him to. It's a joy to see the happiest people are grateful people. Gratitude is the bedrock of worship, and it's the bedrock of happiness. We're not designed to be complaining. And if you catch yourself just spending your time murmuring and grumbling about how things have come down in life, I can guarantee you, you're not happy. And God wants you blessed. He wants you happy. Well, if gratitude is the bedrock of worship, and if it's the bedrock of happiness, then the bedrock of gratitude is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If gratitude is so key, if gratitude is so essential that I can say it's the very bedrock of worship, the very bedrock of happiness, and it is, then it's so crucial to hear this. The bedrock of gratitude is what Jesus Christ did for you and me on the cross. That is the foundation for all true gratitude. The cross of Christ is why we're filled with gratitude. The cross of Christ, and when I say the cross, I mean His death, His burial, and His resurrection on my behalf. I was at a graveside yesterday, and I wasn't just whistling Dixie when I said, oh, it's a great view sight. As we were burying the body, you can't see anything. No, I thought it was appropriate that we were at a beautiful sight, and we talked about it a little bit, but we rejoiced that He is not here. He's risen. The angel said, why are you looking for the living one among the dead? Jesus Christ died, was buried for my sin, my guilt, and rose again. And because I live, you shall live also. He said, no wonder we're filled to overflowing. Think about something overflowing, you know. You pour it up to the brim and then it just spills over. That's the way gratitude is when you realize what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. My sin is as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't even remember it. He doesn't bring it up anymore. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God not only created me, oh, and we should give thanks as God our Creator. I mean, that's where Romans started. Don't let me pit these against each other, but let me say, when you give praise to your Creator, that's one thing, but when you come to know Him personally, and as the songwriter says, His mercy triumphs over justice. He not only gave you bread and meat and water and the ability to breathe in your lungs, but He has given you everything you'll ever need pertaining to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'll tell you, He saw me in my sin, my helplessness, my guilt, and He acted. In this is love. Not that I loved Him, but that He loved me. Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the satisfaction for my sins, your sins. I'm quoting 1 John 4:10. He saw us in our need, and He acted to meet that need. He took the initiative, and He acted at great cost to Himself, sacrificially. He hung on that cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? No wonder we love Him. And no wonder that's about as good a definition as you can get of love. In this is love, the Scripture says. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Are you still in Colossians 2? I'm not, but turn there. Colossians, our text. And texts in the Bible only get better when you read the context, you know. So let me encourage you. I won't take the time. But look at verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, Paul writes in Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 9. When you see what he did for you, the bedrock, the very foundation of all gratitude, which is the foundation for worship and happiness, is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why, let me suggest one thing and we'll be done. This week, take some time. And I would say it's very helpful. I've been doing this for some time, and I did it several times this week, past week, with groups I was with. I just encourage people to give thanks for something that every other Christian on earth can give thanks for. Give thanks for something else that every other Christian on earth, make a list, keep going. Give thanks for salvation truth. You see, I can give thanks for my family, but some don't have family. I can give thanks for my health, maybe you don't have health. And I maybe won't tomorrow. I can give thanks for food, and there's Christians who are hungry in Somalia. Now, we should give thanks for both. Don't get me wrong. Give thanks, overflow with gratitude. But it's a healthy thing to give thanks for things that every other believer on the planet can give thanks for. And it'll cause you to deepen your gratitude. I give thanks that my sin is forgiven, and so is my brother's in Somalia. I give thanks that I have peace with God, and so does my sister, no matter where she is. I give thanks that I have peace with God. I give thanks that I'm a child of God. I give thanks that His Holy Spirit lives within me. The list goes on and on and on, and it's a helpful thing to do that. And then don't quit giving thanks for everything else, too. Okay? Oh, bow this morning in worship, overflowing with gratitude. Bow with happiness. How happy is the man whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, David said. He couldn't believe the burden lifted off his neck when he knew that his sin was forgiven. Oh, embrace your Savior as your deliverer, your everything. Lord, we praise you for this, that mercy did triumph over judgment. And oh, we praise you that your kindness has led us to repentance. Your kindness has led us to your very heart, the heart of God. We praise you in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Overflowing with Gratitude, a message from the second chapter of the book of Colossians. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching for SW Bible Live, or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 a.m. It's best to check the 800 AM program guide for up-to-the-minute schedule adjustments. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to RomansProject.org or connect with us at Facebook.com/RomansProject. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
What is God really looking for? He's looking for childlike faith. Truly, I say to you, unless you're converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. By the way, let me just say, parents, grandparents, singles, young marriage without kids, anybody within the sound of my voice, everyone needs to be converted. Unless you're converted like a child, you won't go to heaven. You won't see the kingdom. Conversion is an old-fashioned term, but it's such a biblical term. To turn to the Lord and confess your sin and find forgiveness.
Join us again next time as we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Bringing Children to Christ. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.